Morning, everybody.
Hang on, I've got a time attack system in belt now. I thought I got away with having the time, Mike, but he brought it to me while I'm sat there.
Right, it's nice to be back. I must be doing something right because you keep inviting me back.
I hope you all had a good Christmas and you all settled into the new year. We've come together this morning to worship, to focus upon God, and to bless one another as we bless God in our worship as well. So let's join together in an opening prayer. Father, of all that has gone on in this past week and of all that is going to go on in this coming week, Lord, at this moment we ask that you would help us to focus upon you. Put those things to one side, that we can look to the throne of heaven, we can worship our loving Heavenly Father. May you be blessed as we lift you in praise, and may we be blessed as you pour out your blessings upon us. In your name, amen. So we're going to sing together. We're going to sing The Splendor of the King. I don't mind if you stand or sit or whatever, just do whichever you feel more comfortable. Just you're worshiping God. So let's just join together and sing The Splendor of the King. I know we're sort of a month almost into the new year now, but how many of you made New Year's resolutions? It's amazing now. This was asked at our church the other week, and hardly any hands went up. It doesn't seem to be something that we do anymore. I have to say, I haven't made a New Year's resolution for years. My New Year's resolution most years is don't make a New Year's resolution, because most of the time you've failed within the first week or so. That's nothing to do with our scene setting today. I want you to think about how you communicate with people. If you want to get some news to somebody or some information to somebody, how many different ways are there of communicating? Now, I grew up in the 1970s. I know that was a fair while ago. But it was in the days before we had these wonderful things called mobile phones and computers and the internet and all that. So if you wanted to communicate information to somebody, you either had to use your house telephone. And I remember our first house telephone when we got one at home. It was such a great thing. We got a Trim phone. Some of you are going, yeah, I remember. Trim phones. You see, before then, all phones went ring, 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 ring. A Trim phone went brr, 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 brr. And we had the two-tone green one. Rectangular body and a lighter green handle that came over the top. You still dialed in a circle. So if you wanted 999, it still took ages and that. But that was how you would communicate with people. Or you would do the old-fashioned thing of writing a letter. If the person was close enough, you could go and knock on their door and talk to them. A few years ago, I was changing my mobile phone. And I went to the mobile phone shop and I said, you know, I'm due for an upgrade. And they said, well, do you want a camera on your phone? And I'm, well, not too worried. Do you want to be able to go on the internet? Do you want to be able to do this? I said, so it does all of that. Yeah, I said, does it make a phone call? Because that's like the last thing they tell you about your mobile phone, isn't it? They tell you all the things that you can do with it, but the last thing they tell you is that you can actually make a phone call. But most of the times today, we communicate with one another, either via email. Text message is the most common thing nowadays. And this new thing, I say new because I'm old, WhatsApp. Have you WhatsApped somebody? But that's how we get information out. And I want you to think about communication today. I want you to think about how we communicate to one another, how we get someone's attention. We have a mobile phone, somebody wants to contact you, something in your pocket goes ping. Oh, somebody wants me. And it's interesting that these things now have become so important that they're more important than what is going on in front of you. You can be having a conversation with somebody and your mobile phone pings and the person you are talking to has to wait whilst you find out why your phone pinged. And it's better if the person in front of you talks to you and then goes, hang on a minute, ping, I'm here. But I want you to think about how we communicate with each other, how we communicate and how we receive communication from other people. So that's where we're looking today. So we're going to sing again. We're going to sing My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, Cornerstone. Again, stand, sing, sit, just join in the worship. think that says we did well there. So our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm reading from the New International Version. When Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, he withdrew to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He went and lived in Capernaum, which is by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," said Jesus, "and I will send you to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among people. So before I share some thoughts on that passage, we're going to sing once more, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" And Sandra's going to surprise us with whichever tune she's chosen to do this one to. So... So let's just focus our hearts and minds. Father, as we come around your word, I pray that these would not be my words, but they would be yours. I pray that each of us would hear the message this morning that you want to speak to us, and that we would take it into our everyday lives. We ask all this in your name. Amen. So we've got the reading, and I'm focusing upon the calling of his disciples rather than the first bit where Jesus goes and lives in Galilee. And it's We were talking earlier on about thinking about how we communicate with one another. And these disciples were out doing their everyday job. They were out doing their normal thing. They were casting fish. I love the fact that the Bible says they were casting nets into the lake because they were fishermen. Just in case you didn't know why they were casting nets into a lake, we need to tell you that they are fishermen. Because you'd have been surprised if they had said they were casting nets into the lake, for they were makers of tents, wouldn't you? You'd have been a bit surprised at that, wouldn't you? But we all have an everyday life, don't we? All of us get involved in something. We've either had a job and retired, or we have a job and are looking forward to retirement, or it's something we do every day. I work in a Christian conference centre, and that comes with all the difficulties that we have with guests coming in and not giving us information. Communication is really, really important. And we communicate with our guests mainly by email. So we ask them to send in what we call a guest information pack. We ask them to put their guests into bedrooms. We don't do that for them. We ask them to tell us how they want their room set out and send us their program for their event. And I would say probably 90% of them manage to do all of that. But we do get the odd ones that come in, and they'll go into the main meeting room and they'll look and they'll go, oh, we wanted it round tables. And you think, but you didn't tell us that. And the communication breaks down. And that's really important, because if communication breaks down, then things are not done in the way that they would like it to be done, or that we would like it to be done. So the disciples were out fishing, or they weren't disciples at this point, but they're out fishing. The fishermen were out fishing. And I don't know whether before this they would have known who Jesus was, whether Jesus was beginning to make a name for himself. But it says that he came along the lake, and he sees Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And he calls out to them, come and follow me. So there is a call. There is a call over these people. Come and follow me. Now, from the little bit I know about Simon, I can imagine him thinking something along the lines of, who the heck do you think you are? Come and follow you. Why? Who are you? But that call went out to Simon and Peter, and then it went out to James and John. And I was thinking, as I was writing down the notes here, how many times God called out to people. And he started doing it right at the very beginning. If you read the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, it says, God called to Adam, where are you? Because Adam and Eve had sinned. They suddenly realized they were naked, so they hid. God asked the question. He called out to them, where are you? He didn't need to ask the question. He knew exactly where they were. He knew exactly what had happened, but he asked the question. In Exodus, he called to Moses from the burning bush. Moses, Moses. And Moses responded by talking to the burning bush. He called to Samuel, Samuel's name. Samuel, Samuel. Samuel runs along to Levi in the temple to say, you called me. But Levi hadn't. He called to Elijah from the cave. Elijah, what are you doing here? He said. He calls to Jonah, to Joseph, to Jeremiah, to Daniel, and lots of other people. God does a lot of calling to people. God has called you. God has called out to you. So there is a call that goes out to each and every person from God. We need to listen for that call, because we live a very, very busy life. And our lives, when I say busy, I mean noisy as well. So we need to listen for the voice of God. And I've said this to you before, because I say this quite frequently. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every time God spoke to us, there was lightning and thunder and an earthquake? Because we would know without a doubt that it was God, wouldn't we? If this voice every time boomed, whoa, you know, like that, and we would not have an issue. But sometimes God comes along like he did with Elijah. And it says, after all the noise, after the fire and the earthquake and the rain and the thunder and the rocks crashing, it says, and God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And sometimes we have to train our ears to listen through the noise and the bustle of what's going on in life, to listen out and determine that it is God speaking to us. We have a tendency then to argue, but you know, that's our human nature, isn't it? So he's called out to the disciples and he said to them, come and follow me. So on this call, there is then a response. There has to be a response. When God calls your name, you have a choice as to whether you respond to it or not. Everybody calls your name. I've put my phone in my coat over there so it doesn't disturb me. But when my phone goes, I don't have to know who it is that's calling, but the phone tells me. Suspected spam. Do you get those? When you look at your phone. Now, you have a choice now, don't you? This is suspected spam. So do I answer it or don't I answer it? And I tend to answer it because I'm often expecting calls from people that I haven't got their number. So I answer it, and I tend to answer it, and I go, hello. Then you get beep, as whatever it is clicks into being. Then they say, oh, can I speak to? And I say, yes, you're speaking to me. Oh, I'm not trying to sell you anything. Oh, right, okay. But I have the choice as to whether I answer. Oh, you know, when God calls, I have a choice as to whether I listen. God doesn't just do things and force us into a corner. You have a choice every time. If God asks you to say something to somebody and you choose not to say it, God doesn't suddenly go, hang on a second, you're like a puppet and I'm going to make you talk. If you don't want to speak the words that God gives you to speak, you know the easiest way not to do it? Isn't it? It's very difficult to talk if you seal your mouth shut. But God doesn't come in and suddenly take over and go, you will do this. He's asking for your compliance. He's asking for you to respond to what he's asking you to do. God wants to use his people. You can choose to obey, you can choose to listen, you can choose to ignore God, you can choose to turn your back, you can choose to do what he's asking you to do. Go back to the disciples, go back to Peter, to Simon and Andrew and James and John. Come and follow me. They have a choice. They can sit there and say, look, we're fishermen. This is what we do. This is our livelihood. This is everything that we know. So we're going to continue throwing this. And you can wait for us to come into the land and then we'll have a chat with you. Or they can say, well, okay then, let's pull the net back in. Let's go to the shore and find out what you're talking about. I would love it if when God spoke to us, he gave us the whole story in one go. That would be much easier, wouldn't it? But God tends to give you things a step at a time. So he says to Simon and Andrew, come and follow me. So they did. What would you do in that situation? Most of us, we live in a world where the world measures everything by gain and by looking at what we have. How large is your salary? How new is your car? How big is your house? What clothes are you wearing? What brand are you wearing? It's a very materialistic world. But God doesn't measure us like that. God measures us by our obedience. So what would you do? What would you have done if you were the disciples that day? And then we get the result. So we have had the call. We've had the response. And now we get the result of the response. It says, Simon and Andrew, at once they left their nets and they followed him. At once they left their nets and they followed him. These are people whose family had probably been fishing for generations. These are people who all they knew was fishing. Fishing would provide them with the food they needed to eat, the income, and they would give them that, in a sense, that purpose in life. But at once, Jesus said, "Follow me." At once, they left their nets and they followed him. James and John, out with their father Zebedee, same situation. Jesus says, "Come and follow me." He says, and immediately they left their boat and their father and they followed him. Life has a new direction. God calls us with a purpose. When you were called to be a Christian, when you heard that call of God all those years ago, or maybe not all those years ago, maybe only a few years ago, but you heard that call, you heard God call your name when he said, "Come and follow me." Did you hear the reason why? Because it's not just a case of come and join, come and be in this little boat of safety. It's a case of come and follow me and I will make you. I will give you a task. When I became a Christian, back in probably about 1977 or 1978, when I became a Christian then, I didn't know that I was ever going to be standing at the front up here talking. I've told you this story before. I'm not a confident person. This is not me. This is out of my comfort zone. But I do it because when God called me, he tasked me with sharing the message. And that's what I do. And I hope I do it quite well. I spoke to a lady at work the other day who'd come in with a group. She came in with, we had a deaf group come in, and she was in as one of the helpers to the deaf group, one of the guests. And she said to me as she left, "Do you remember?" She said, "I bet you don't recognise me, do you?" And I went, "No." And she said, and she told me two girls' names, Chloe and I can't remember the other girl's name. She said, "But they used to come to your Bible club. And they still talk about all the things you did at Bible Club." Now, we ran a successful Bible Club for about 15, 16 years. And at its peak, with 100, 120 children a week coming. And to have somebody come up to me, and I said, we had them up to, what do you call it now? It used to be, it's now primary school age, isn't it? It used to be sort of like lower school and first couple of years of middle school, they used to come to us. So when they were about 11 or 12, they got too old to come then. They had to move on to something else. But so I said, "Oh, they must be what, 21 now?" She said, "They're 33. And they still talk about what we did. You see, I don't know the impact of the words that I'm going to say. When I talk to a guest at work, or when I've spoken to those children, when I used to go in doing school assemblies, when we ran our summer holiday clubs and we had those 120 children for a week, and then the parents come in for the Sunday service, I never knew what the outcome was going to be. And I still don't know. But every now and again, I bump into somebody. And in fact, we now have a couple of youngsters that are working for us at King's Park. And I was talking to one of them the other day, and it was her and her brother used to come. And her brother would hide behind her. He was as shy as anything. He wouldn't say boo to a goose. He's got his own business now, which is really nice to see. But she said, "I was talking with him the other day." I'm not going to mention names. So I was talking with him the other day. And she said, "We still talk about the fun that we had at Holiday Club." I'm going to call him Paul, but his name's not Paul. But she says, "Paul was saying, do you remember the fun we used to have on the Friday afternoon?" Because the Friday afternoon was always the afternoon that we took them out onto the school playing field. We had water, we had shaving foam, and we had great fun. But the fact is that here we are, 20 years down the line, and that has had an impact upon their lives. And she said to me, as a parting comment was, "You did a good job." You see, I don't know that, because people don't ever tell you these things. But I did sometimes go out, when I was with the ambulance service, I went out to a young lady, she'd rear-ended somebody, and we had to go, and I had to hold her head still in the car, and she said to me, as I'm holding her head like this, she goes, "You used to come to my school and do assemblies, didn't you?" God calls you with a purpose. You may not know what the outcome of that purpose is going to be. Simon and Andrew, James and John, when Jesus called them, he didn't say, and you will birth a whole movement that will go on for years, hundreds of years. He just said, come and follow me. I often wonder what I would have done in those situations, whether I would have responded with, hang on a minute, wait until I'm ready to come over. Now, I break the mold. They used to say, I don't know if they still do, but they used to say the average person hears the gospel three times. It used to be three times before they responded to it. And I break the mold because I only ever heard, I heard it once. I went to a Sunday school. Again, I've told some of you this before. Went to a Sunday school because my mum, I think, thought, oh, an hour without the children on Sunday afternoon. Yeah, off you go. And off we went to Sunday school. And this man was telling us about this person called Jesus who died on the cross for my sin. And I went home and my prayer was a very faith-filled, very theological, sound worked out prayer. If you did that for me, it's got to be worth giving you a go. And here I am, a long years, many, it's horrible when you start working out, isn't it? 48 years later. And I'm still here. I'm still in that relationship. And do I know what the outcome is going to be? Other than I've got eternal life in heaven, no, I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I don't know what God's called me into for the future few years. We pastored a church for 18 years. We closed it, and somebody prophesied over me as we closed the church and came up and said, God's got something new for you. And I thought, oh, what? And I said, I don't know. All God's saying is don't give up because God's got something new. There's something new down the line. Somebody came and said, there's a new mantle going on your shoulders. And that was 10, 12 years ago, and I'm still waiting to find out what it is. Because God calls us, and he calls us by our name. And he says, come and follow me. And in that following him, I choose to learn from him. I choose to do what he's asking me to do. I choose to listen, to read his word, and to learn from his word. Because one day he's going to go, right, now I want you to do that. And I'll be ready for it because I've done the training. Simon and Andrew, James and John were fishermen. That's all they knew. That's what they're trained to do. So when he said, come and follow me, he didn't say, come and follow me, and I will teach you how to preach and to share the good news. But I was just thinking, the response doesn't always show us the long-term results of what God wants us to do. Some of the disciples never lived to see the birth of the church. But actually, some of them never lived to see the birth of the church. And yet their response to follow Jesus had an impact upon the result. You see, the church was birthed because people accepted and followed Jesus. Let's just go there. So, to recap, there is a call, and each one of you, either God is calling you or God has called you. There is a response. We have a choice, and then there's the result. So the call is the question. He calls you by name. I think that's what that always strikes me as really important, that God knows your name. I might not know your name, but God does. And when he calls you, he calls your name. When you're in a crowded room and there's a lot of conversation going on, and then you hear somebody suddenly say, and Martin and Ruth was doing this, and you suddenly think, oh, that was our name. That was somebody talking about, what are they saying about us? And you hear it in the background. And I think it's really important because we respond to our name being called, don't we? When I'm at work and we have guests, and we had a group the other week of 160 odd guests, if one of them is called Martin, for instance, and somebody in the room shouts, Martin, and they're talking to the other guy, but I instantly respond. I respond because it's my name and I've heard my name. So I look up. And it's the same with God. He calls you in all the busyness and all the noise that's going along. He calls you by your name so that you can respond. You know he is talking to you. It could be that he gives you a visitation. He actually comes and speaks to you. We have the response that we can answer, we can draw near to him, and we can listen to what he's saying, or we can choose to ignore. It's our response. We don't become automatons, we are individuals, and God allows that. The result is that we choose to follow. We obey what he tells us to do. And then we become a part of the whole story. Did you know the Bible has not finished? It's still going on. The church is still working. There are people still responding. And do you know that you are a part of that story? That you have an active role in that? And maybe in years to come, something will be written down and your name will be put in there. Billy Graham is one of the classic examples. Apparently, if I remember rightly, he wasn't going to that meeting. He was taking somebody else. I think the person wanted to go because somebody he liked was going. And Billy Graham drove at that point, and this other chap didn't. So they asked him if he would drive them there, and he went. And then Billy Graham became a Christian. Of course, Billy Graham was one of the biggest impacts that we've had in modern society. See, we don't know, do we? We don't know. But all I can reassure you with is God has a plan. So, I want to finish with asking you, have you heard God calling your name? Have you responded to the initial call to come and follow him? Do you listen out for him in your everyday life? Do you know what the task is that he's called you for? See, he called the fishermen and he said, I will make you fishers of men. They were not confident speakers, and yet the birth of the church. You read Acts and it's such an encouraging story. This bunch of nobodies that actually turned the world around. And if God can do that with them, because they obeyed and they followed, what can he do with us? What possibilities are there for you? No matter how old you are, you never finish. God's got a task for you. Have you heard, and do you know what that task is? So I've chosen a hymn to follow this. And I've chosen, apparently you sang this, did you sing it last week? Or was this, no, Paul's chosen this one for his service this morning as well. I, the Lord, have seen sky. And I chose it because the chorus says, here am I, Lord. Is it I, Lord? Send me. So let's join together and sing, I, the Lord, have seen sky. See, I referred at the beginning of my message about how God called to Adam and the likes. And the response to their calls, of course, was that Adam came out of hiding. Moses led the people of Israel. Elijah tested the people's faith in God. What can God do through us if we respond? Let's pray. Father, we've just sung those words. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. Lord, help us to discern your voice through all that goes on around us. That chorus finishes with the words, I will hold your people in my heart. So as we pray now, we ask that you would guide us as we think of the situations in the world around us. We think of the places that are being torn apart by war. Think of Russia and Ukraine. Think of Israel. Lord, there's so many other places that are being torn apart because people are trying to take over bits of land. It tends to normally be about greed. But Lord, I pray that you would be in those situations, that each of those leaders that are involved would hear you as we have heard you, that each of those leaders would sense your Holy Spirit and give themselves to your peace. We pray that you would be with the organisations and charities that are in each of those situations, helping those that are in need, those that have been displaced, those that are injured, those that are coping with grief. And we pray that you would strengthen those workers as they serve, be it a Christian organisation or not. Strengthen those helpers, strengthen those workers, that they may bring about your results. We pray for our nation, a nation that seems, the more I look at it, more further and further away from you. And yet, Lord, you never give up. And you have planted in this nation, Christians, a church, Lord, that you are calling to stand up for what is right and true. We pray, Lord Jesus, that your people, the church, the Christians, would stand up, declaring the truth, helping the homeless, helping the hungry, helping those that are struggling to clothe families. We pray for those who are worried about their houses, worried about their jobs, worried about how they're going to feed their families. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that somehow you would put people, the right people, across their paths. And we pray for all those in authority, Lord, that as they have to make difficult decisions, some of us will agree with them and some of us won't. But Lord, rather than criticise, Lord, we pray for them. And we pray that your work would be done through them. And we pray for your church. We hear of the news that the number of young people turning to the church is increasing. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would strengthen your church. May it stand on the foundations of the gospel. May it declare the truth. May it not be afraid to be different in society. May we be, as we used to sing as children, that little light that shines. And not you in your small corner and I in mine, but Lord, as a bright light, as a beacon in this nation. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for our town. Lord, we pray that you would be with all those that are in need, all those that need a touch from you, those that need comfort, those that are struggling. We pray that you would be with them all and show us where we can serve. We bring all these things to you because you ask us to, because you are genuinely interested. We bring them to you so that we can lay them at your feet, as we do now. And we ask, Lord, that you would be in every situation. Amen. So we're going to finish with an old hymn, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. Father, as we draw our meeting to a close, we ask that you would open our ears to hear all that you have said to us today. You would open our ears each day to hear your call upon us. Lord, that call might just be, I want you to go and knock on your neighbour's door just to check they're okay. It could be, I want you to give X, Y, Z to this charity or this person. Lord, but may we hear your voice and may we be obedient. May we tell your message to those that we come across. Lord, that your church may grow, your kingdom may increase, and that this nation could be changed for the better. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would be with each one of us as we leave this building. May we go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.